Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know the sad story of Israel of the Old Testament, how God chose them to be his own special people and then redeemed them from slavery in Egypt and made a covenant with them on Mount Sinai and tended to them like a gardener tends to a garden or like a shepherd tends to his sheep. And yet over and over again, over the centuries, they rejected God's covenant, turned aside from his word, worshiped other gods, until finally the prophet Isaiah began to preach their doom, the doom of Judah, the doom of Jerusalem, its coming destruction some 120 years in the future from Isaiah's time. Isaiah preached about the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity that they would suffer in the land of Babylon. But he also prophesied deliverance. Deliverance from captivity, and more importantly, the deliverance of being reconciled to the God whom they had offended and would offend so many times. That God himself would provide the reconciliation they needed. That God would send his Son, the Son of the Virgin, as Isaiah prophesied, the one who unto us is born, who unto us is given. It was Isaiah who prophesied the deliverance that the Messiah, the Christ, would earn through suffering by bearing our iniquities, by dying. Isaiah prophesied that deliverance to the people of Israel. And even though Isaiah didn't see any of that deliverance in his lifetime, he sang this song that we have in the first lesson this evening in Isaiah chapter 12, this first song of Isaiah, as it's sometimes called, a song of deliverance that he says, you will sing. And the people of Israel did sing it. And the apostles also sang it. And we sing it too, because it's the very thing that the apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians about in the second lesson you heard this evening. One died for all. To Isaiah, it was something that would happen 700 years in the future. To the Apostle Paul, it was something that had happened just a couple of decades before. One died for all. The price of our redemption was paid by the Lord himself, and then he sent out the word of reconciliation, which we might summarize like this. You have offended me, God says. You deserve to die, but I yearn to be reconciled with you. Meet me, God says. Meet me at this place. Meet me here at the cross of my Son, that is where Christ crucified is preached to you in the ministry of the Word, this ministry of reconciliation. This, he says, is where I will be merciful to you. This is where I will accept you for the sake of my Son. This is where I will forgive you all your sins. This is where you and I will have peace. Don't try to approach me anywhere else or in any other way, or your condemnation will remain. But here I will be reconciled to you. Approach me through my beloved Son, and all will be well. That's the word of reconciliation that Isaiah preached ahead of time, that Christ preached when he was on the earth, and that the Apostle Paul preached, and that all Christian ministers still preach. And it moved Isaiah to sing, and Israel to sing for joy those inspired words of chapter 12. O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. We have seen that salvation, that deliverance of God, not by going back in history, but by reading the scriptures and by knowing the history that happened, how God delivered Israel from captivity, how he sent his Son to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil. and how he has sent out that word of reconciliation across the ages and across the world so that sinners like you and like me can hear his call, be reconciled to God, and believe and rejoice. Because death and condemnation and destruction were coming for us too. But now we've been delivered from it and reconciled to God through faith in Christ Jesus. Not only did Isaiah sing for joy and tell the people of Israel they would sing for joy, but he called on Israel and he calls on us, telling us what to sing and where to sing it. In that day you will say, "Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." Well, what do we sing? What message do Christians proclaim? His deeds. God's deeds. And not just his great deeds of creation, and not just his deeds of earthly help and protection as you have experienced them, but above all, his deeds of salvation from sin, death, and the devil. Christ's deeds on the earth, especially his deeds of suffering and dying for us, and his deeds of judgment against his enemies and the enemies of his blood-bought people. And where do we proclaim his deeds? Among the peoples, among the nations, wherever you live. Declare the excellent things that God has done, and declare it not as a chore, not as a heartless lesson for the lecture halls, but with joy. The joy of the gospel must accompany our proclamation of it and our song. If we stop and think about the destruction toward which we were headed and the lengths to which our God has gone to make sure we avoided it, if we think about that, then we won't be able to help but sing for joy the deeds of the Lord. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.